that was a full day of work.
Study and ride home.
Everybody ready? Guys, ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't RSVP, but I need to go to this.
We're calling this special board meeting to order. It is February 24th, 2014, and it is 6:09.
Thank you.
Roll call?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
And Mrs. Sterling?
Here.
Number two, consent agenda. Administration recommends approval as presented. A 2014-2015 school calendar.
Do we have any questions or discussion?
Anybody want to hold it?
What is the difference between A and B and why we bring it?
We're going with a 6-week calendar as proposed by the committee. Because that's been left off.
So B is 9 weeks? Is that what that is?
Yes.
So we're just approving A?
This week.
Draft A, okay.
Do we hear a motion?
Yeah. Let me see it starting.
I move to adopt the school calendar.
18th?
Or A.
Draft
is it A? Letter A's example. For the 2014-2015 school year.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Gomez.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Sterling?
Yes.
Thank you, Board.
This takes us to the next agenda item.
Three, new business. A, discussion and possible action regarding VMAC guarantee maximum price for Reyes School.
Mr. Padilla.
Yes. Madam Chair, I'd like to put the board's in your approval. If we could look at B and C before we looked at A.
What does everybody else think?
I'm fine with that. Moving A after C.
Yeah,
sure.
Yes, sir.
Yep, I'm okay.
That's the number?
No problem.
Okay, Ms. Gomez, we'll go with B and C first. If you can call those agenda items, please.
Item B, discussion possible action regarding the selection of SRO contract.
The direction on Tuesday was to see what, how the county voted, and the county voted to accept the 75% for the fourth year. And so I was bringing to you, Martha Kive, and I worked out some options. Option one, totally with the going with the county would be $484,000 total cost. Option two. And that also includes the Anthony police officer.
Correct.
The one police officer. Option two would be $519,788 with a difference of $33,666.
I have a question.
Ms. Gonzalez.
Does that include the overtime too?
No.
No. Option one is only good.
We do have a cost now for overtime for help.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
We do have an overtime for calculation purposes of cost per hour.
It's an estimate.
Yep.
And what's the average in the past year that we've accrued overtime?
About 12 hours, but we didn't have...
that was just one SRO,
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Coronado, you estimated last time like $65,000 more or less for...
Overtime for the
4 years?
Total number of
4 years.
Yeah. And now the difference isn't as much as 100,000 as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. There's still a difference.
Before, we were not including the Anthony police officer.
Right.
Now this number has the Anthony police officer.
This is inclusive.
However, I did talk to Mr. Rowan earlier, and he was saying if we do end the Anthony police officer at the end of the year, an additional officer would cost us $30,000.
Well, we don't have anything for that figure, though.
So.
What do you mean an additional 30?
Madam President, Dr. Calabrese, like Dr. Calabrese mentioned, the county commissioners went ahead and approved the grant and moving forward based on the last school district, which was you all on Tuesday at the 75% for the fourth year. So they accepted that. So now we're coming back to the school districts to move forward. Clint went ahead and picked up six positions, but they picked up six positions because that was what we had remaining. When we originally came to you all, you only were looking at two. And so if you all were looking for three, then that would be a whole other paradigm. But the percentages would still be the same. You're still paying the same percent for years one, two, and three, and the same amount for year four. That doesn't change. The only thing that we have to decide is if you want two officers, like we originally spoke about, or now you may be looking at three officers.
And it would fall under that grant?
It would still fall under the grant for years one, two, and three, and then year four would be the final.
So essentially,
this is all new because this is just what Dr. Galavis just approached me about today.
So at the end of this year, we would pick up an additional SRO and remove our Anthony SRO, and it would all be El Paso County SROs. Correct.
That's what.
Well, if right now we pay $39,000 and you're one Anthony police officer, which is $30,000. But again, I would like to see these numbers before taking a conceptual number on that.
Have they given you anything, Mr. Blanco?
No.
No, we
had the same thing.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Am I reading this correctly that there's essentially about a $35,000 difference between the two years?
Yes.
And that's with out overtime.
Yeah.
So, I just can't remember. How much did we come up with overtime?
12 hours. But thank you.
Well, what's the per hour overtime?
$50 per hour.
$50, okay. What's
it
under a week?
Sergio last time estimated approximately 65,000.
Oh. That was under the estimate of 12 hours extra,
right,
which Anthony was estimating that we only have one. So if we're smart, what we would do is we would stagger the sheriffs so that way we wouldn't have overtime under the business model.
And if we go to three, we'd actually see less overtime.
Yeah.
Well, but how can you stagger them if there are different campuses?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you would have.
How would that actually happen?
You would have, let's say if they're going to be going in the afternoon for a volleyball game or something, you would have them come in later that day instead of working 8 to 5 and then, you know, coming in for overtime. You would just...
There'd be somebody as a backup. There's not a single person.
Yes, Linda.
I would like to know how administration is going to monitor or the overtime. It's concerning me. And I assume that you have a plan in place.
What we would do, for example, with our football game. So we would like staff officers scheduled during the day so they could cover the football game need. So we look at the event, make sure that we aren't flexing the schedule to cover that major event. So
and if we do go with the El Paso County Sheriff, I certainly would like the board to be kept apprised if and when any overtime is incurred. I'd like to know. I'm sure it'll come out in the warrant.
Could we have a yearly update?
Yeah.
With the grant? Is that possible?
Absolutely, and you'll be apprised of that when you get the billing and all of that. I mean, what was just passed out to you is the exact same thing that was given to Commissioner's Court this morning. Really, page one and two are just the breakdown from the county auditor's office. What you're most concerned about is, and this is the same thing that we presented to you all last Tuesday, was what the cost was. If you look across the top match, years one through three, the total match is $887,000. When you divide that by 10 officers, then you divide that by 3 years, that comes out per officer per year, $29,537. So if you want two or three, whatever that is, you just multiply it to come up with how much it will cost you per year for SROs for years one, two, and three. Then talking with the fourth year, this is how we split it between the school districts and the county. And again, we would just take a tenth of it, and that would be for one officer, and then depending on how many you want from there. The cost of year four is $653,000 to the school districts, and to the county, which agreed to cover the 25%, is $217,809. If you're talking about one officer, it would be $65,342. You're talking three or four. If you're talking about two or three or whatever, you multiply it for whatever the cost per officer is.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr.
Up on the top of page three, you have time years one through three, at least 75% of time spent as SROs.
Yes, sir.
And 25% of time spent as non-SROs, meaning off school, correct?
Well, meaning the summer, basically. The grant requires that they spend 75% of their time doing school SRO duties. Mm-hmm. The other 25% of the time would be non-SRO, so summers, trainings, whatever that non-SRO stuff is. It's those 3 months, but it's a minimum of 75%, so it could be 80% or whatever your school calendar dictates.
Minimum 75% as SRO?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And who's going to be evaluating the SRO officers by year or to see what their performance is in their job?
With us today is Commander Gomesinda Lopez, and he's the commander that oversees both our community service section and we'll be overseeing the SRO program, so he could probably speak to that.
Sure. The question was who would be overseeing the officers. I would venture to say it would have to be a joint venture between wherever, maybe your school principal and myself, if there's issues that that come up with a certain individual, certain officer. Obviously, we would need to be made aware of it, but I would say that it would be up to you all and your school principal. So that would be that's who I would rely on.
Is there a formal evaluation that's going to be split 50-50 between the school district and the sheriff's department?
I would venture to say, and I have not talked to Sheriff Wiles about this, but I would venture to say that the heavier weight would be more of a maybe 75-25, with the school being the 75%. We're going to assign them to you. They're going to be, in essence, yours to do with whatever you need them to do, what falls within the parameter of the grant. And we're going to rely heavily on you all and I'm just saying the school principals. I'm not sure who would be, but I would imagine the school principals. They're the ones that are going to tell me, hey, listen, this officer is not up to par, and then we would obviously have to do come up with something that's going to be beneficial to you all.
And what happens then? That was my question. What happens if it's an officer is not a good fit with the school? Or
you would need to let me know, and jointly we would make the decision of, let's go ahead and put in another officer, or let's bring the officer in and we'll, we evaluate and we go on. But it would be a joint decision, and I would say, again, it would be more of a 75-25 percentage with the weight being carried more on you all. Because I'm not going to be there to evaluate the officer on a day-to-day basis. It would be your choice.
I have
a
question.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Brigham, I'm echoing what Mr. Mendoza
said down there.
Mr. Medina, just for the
record. We pretty much have on the 9 months, 3 9 months on, 3 months off. Do you have thoughts about how that could become a rotation, how that we're covered? Because we do have something going on all the time.
Oh, absolutely. We have summer school going on, and I do think that they could come up with a rotation. Also, to answer Ms. Quintana's question, I do believe this division is going to fall under HR, which is also under, you know, Mike Gonzalez. So I think I can absolutely tell Ms. Carrasco of your concern here about the evaluation instrument, and I'm sure that we could create an evaluation instrument for the SROs with the 75-25, you know, with something like that. And then again, I do believe we're talking summer school. We have two campuses, and then we have a middle school campus that's going to be just for this year. We have an elementary campus, but then the high school has it all year long because they have credit recovery. Let's not forget, we have the programs over at the student support services. Remember what we were talking about the other day with the children, the young adults,
yes.
25 and under, that would go into there. So I absolutely think that as far as, do I think that they'll be utilized? Absolutely, I think they'll be utilized. They could probably do some community outreach at that time. They could do, and I do think that the evaluation instrument that HR and Mike Gonzalez comes up with, I think that they could sit down with them and say, these are the expectations we have, and this is the expectations we have for summer. So I think, especially if we have more than one officer, that they could do that.
So you think, look, we can be covered year-round, actually, and not have to worry that there's
absolutely
a break?
Oh, yes. I mean, I do think you have individuals, just like with everybody else, that we have to worry about vacation time,
sure,
and personal time and all that. But I do think that if we put in a good evaluation instrument and set expectations, and if we also put in the, you know, look at the schedule on a 2-week to 3-week out window, you know, we can absolutely work like that.
Would we still have like the monthly report that we get from the SRO officer in our packet, like for them?
You know, I can. I'll pass whatever you expect, because this is a new thing, and I can set whatever expectation the board would like to see. I can make sure that I share that with Ms. Carrasco and Mr. Gonzalez, and if you want a monthly recap, is that what you'd like, a monthly summary? Is that,
yeah,
what I'm hearing?
I know that they have a weekly report.
Okay.
And then they have, they summarize everything into a monthly report.
A monthly summary report? And well, that would be in a
book. But yeah, probably bi-weekly would work out. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
let's
see, do they need to go to the agreement?
Eventually.
I have a question.
Ms. Gonzalez.
In the beginning, it was brought to our attention that some of these officers needed to be trained regarding student-oriented. The ones that are bringing, if we approve tonight, how do we ensure that this...
Some of the officers have already started to identify who wants to do it and which ones would be fit for the job, and some of them have already been trained, have through an SRO program. And then ideally, if we can move forward before school starts, that they would get that training. That's the whole idea, that we can do that. I talked to Dr. Galloway's tonight, and you all are looking to start this come July 1st. So it would be during that summertime before your school started that ideally we could get your 2 to 3 officers trained and ready to go. And that's the timeline that we're trying to look at. I mean, some of the different school districts want to start yesterday. You guys are looking to start July 1st.
I also have a question. Would like administration principals be able to interview the officers to see which ones would be a better fit for the campus?
What Dr. Galavis and the chief had met and discussed, that they're going to be a pool of them, that we pooled all based on experience. I mean, because they can't be new officers, they have to have lots of experience and the ability and the right kind of thing. We're also looking for officers that aren't going to be, let's say, pulled away for some other sort of event or for something else, because if they're SRO or SWAT or search and rescue, that doesn't help you if they're gone and you have a replacement there. So we want to find somebody who's stable and who will be there most of the time so that you'll have that same face and same body. And so that pool of people is who we're going to work with, and the commander's going to have, and then working with the superintendent or all three superintendents, be able to select those officers.
See, when I worked in a campus, that used to happen, where they pulled out the SRO officers a lot, and they were not there.
And that's the
commitment. When they were needed.
Right, and that's the
commitment. You know, that's my concern, because they were from the sheriff's department.
Right, and that's the commitment we've given you, is that if they were pulled, you'll have a replacement. But we're looking to find officers that would not be pulled in case somebody was stuck or fell off the mountain, and they were search and rescue, and they had to go take care of that. So we're looking for officers that aren't specialized in other areas, so that they will be in the campus as much as possible, and they wouldn't be pulled away.
But yet specialized for what they do there.
Absolutely. So.
Any other questions?
I do, real quick. I did get in contact with him the day after our meeting, because I wanted to find out where the miscommunication, and I hope administration did too. I do have some questions. Going back to those figures on first and second SRO, I'm trying to look at. Does anybody have last week's agenda?
No? Either they did that.
They're the same?
Yeah. 59 and 46 is the same.
So on the percentage on the first 3 years are?
That's what we're paying now.
What's the grant paying?
The grant's paying roughly 66% or two-thirds of the total, and you're paying one-third for years 1, 2, and 3. I mean, it's broken down. If you look at page 2, there's your cost. So on page 2 of what we were handed out, the first thing going all the way across for 10 officers is $658,000. You divide that by 10. The cost is $65,832, and you're paying
for the two?
For one officer. So you're paying, so the cost is $65,832, and you're paying $29,573. Your figure is constant. It's not changing those 6 years, or those 3 years. And if you notice, all 3 years, they get increases. Your number's constant, not changing. The grant's eating up the cost of their increases. And we provided those cost of increases on page 1. If you look at page 1, it goes 1-1, 4-1, 10-1. Every time they get an increase going across, you see what their increase is per officer.
Does the administration have the previous, what we were presenting?
I was given this by Ms. Getty right before they left, so no, I didn't.
I was just going to calculate or do the cost benefit analysis. But I guess if we can put that in our Friday packet.
I have a question.
Mr. Medina.
A question for administration. We've asked for security sort of plan or anything from Mike. And I guess the administration as a whole. Because it's great that we're getting some more SROs, whether it be Anthony or El Paso County Sheriffs, but we get to see a comprehensive plan for security when it comes to our facilities and our students. When do we expect to see that?
March.
Thanks. March?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll need that expectation to the board.
So we get it presented.
Is there an out on this contract if we feel we're not getting service correct? In other words, after the first year, is that something we can work into, or is it the federal grant does not allow that?
Well, it's a 4-year project regardless. I know with your attorneys, we've discussed that at length. It's a 4-year project, and so you're pretty much...
It's 4-year. We're stuck 4 years.
There you go.
4 months contract.
I'm sorry. The way I understood it from our discussion with the sheriff's officers is they want to have one master and a local agreement. Is it just going to be us and Clint now?
It's you, Clint, and San Lazar.
Okay, we'll have one master agreement for the grant, and then they told us that we would be able to have individualized separate items if we need to, but it's not going to include an item that will give us an out from the grant, because if we're out, it affects the pricing, as I understand it.
And And that's the whole idea, is that it's a federal grant for 3 years. And so, I mean, if your concern is a particular officer, that's why the commander's here to address that. So if a particular officer isn't the right fit, or whatever the issue may be, then that can be fixed and changed really easily. But it's still a four-year fund.
Ms. Earl.
For clarification, is what I'm hearing and what I think I'm reading, we're going to get two sheriff's officers. We're going to keep the one Anthony police person. Yes. And there's about a $35,000 difference between the two options. And the one with the police department does not cover overtime, but we feel that we're covered because the one with Anthony does cover overtime. And we think that we can work that out.
I think with additional people, you would have less, I think there'd be less of a risk that, you know, that we could cover it. Mm-hmm. However, I working at a campus for as long as I have, I do know things will come up. So I do think that we have to look at that, and that will be something that we'll have to very much school the principals on. That it should be as limited, you know what I mean?
I do understand.
Because things happen.
And looking forward, do we need to budget another $30,000, $35,000 if we take this option for the unexpected? Yes.
If you were to look at some costs, let's say the contract that was provided, we would still be under the same amount. We would just have to manage. Because we're paying 33% compared to paying a full salary. And so there's still a cost savings.
You're only paying 750 on that for those 2 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
It's like built into it for the next
year. Anybody else?
I make a motion to approve.
Just ask. So if we do approve and go with the county, on the option one from April to June is $14,786. Mr. Ross, would that be?
April to June.
April to June.
Year one.
Year one.
These figures have been put together based on what their increase is on April 1st. They don't have another increase until October. So whether you start at April 1st or you start July 1st on your normal budget cycle, it's the same amount. So you're not changing the amount that you're locked in at that $29,000 per officer. So when you start is up to you. And I mean, if you want to start April 1st and just run it for 3 years from April 1st, or if you want to start July 1st on your normal calendar budget, school budget year, then you can do it from then and run it for 3 years. So whatever point you're going to start at.
Mr. Coronado.
All right. Got like a differing of what we looked at last week. The difference now doesn't seem to be over 100,000 now. It seems to be more like 30-some thousand. But if you divide it by per officer, you're looking at about $9,000 a difference per year per officer. Am I right? Wrong. Mm-hmm. Or per two officers, right? It's $38,000 difference, roughly, for the 4 years?
Yep.
Between these two. That also includes the Anthony officer.
Right. So, but we're looking at a $38,000 difference between three people for 4 years, right? So if we divide it by 4 years, it's roughly $10,000 a year difference, right?
No, I think...
Yes, 38,000 yes. Divided by 4 is roughly 10,000.
Yes.
Pretty much. A little under.
Give or take.
You're talking about?
Rounding off.
You're talking about, let's go first. Here.
Option 1 and option 2. Those are the two options we had, right? Between option 1 and option 2, it's roughly costing us 10,000 per year difference. Am I right? So divided between the three officers per year is what?
What does that number tell you, though?
$3,000.
What does that number really tell you, sir? What's the? In other words, what's the 10,000? I can see where you're going because all you're taking is the 519. You're backing up to 484, right? And you're getting the 38,000.
Right. On the other side, that's the difference.
Correct.
And with that difference, with two of those officers, we would have, could have overtime. So we're talking about, if we want to really specify the difference, it's really $5,000 per officer per year, because they're the only two that could get overtime. So we'd only have a $5,000 per those two sheriff's officers, SROs.
That's if we keep the Anthony Police Department at the same rate.
If we keep,
But, I mean, if you notice the difference on Anthony Police, they get an annual increase versus the El Paso County SROs, they don't get an annual increase. It's a steady rate. There's a 3,000, 6,000, wow. There's a difference there. I mean, you could say if I just go with all SROs from the county at the beginning of July after a contract ends with Anthony.
And if I may, I heard overtime mentioned several times.
Yes.
I'm not really sure what the issue on the overtime is, but, you know, our the SROs, basically we would pay them, you know, the whatever it's, if, whether we're going to do Monday to Friday 8 to 5, but whatever you said, if there's maybe some afternoon hours, you were mentioning there's some stuff. The other thing that I know that we're willing to do is that, let's say, the overtime is accrued by one of your SROs as a result of a law enforcement action, and that's ours, that's on us. Because either way, whether the SRO was there or not, you know, we would be, you know, if we would be responding, we're gonna have to pay either way. As opposed to Anthony, I can't speak for Anthony, I don't know anything about them, but I mean, we can do that because we do have jurisdiction, you know, as far as the law enforcement goes, and I'm not sure about the Anthony the answers. But as far as the overtime goes, I can tell you that if it's a law enforcement action that our officers initiate, and if it goes over, then it's on us. It's not on the school district.
Like the booking process.
Correct.
Well, because
now
the it's
not exactly an agent of the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
So aside from that, if there's going to be like a special event that where we're saying, you know, we're going to need your SRO on a Saturday or whatever, if I get advance notice, we can work with that so that we can eliminate any overtime. I mean, that's our committee too.
We would like the law enforcement actually defined in the contract.
We can put that in a separate agreement, sure. An example would be like at, say, at 3 o'clock at the end of your school day, someone found a bag of marijuana. Obviously, that's not your overtime issue. That's our law enforcement.
See, it does count.
They just found a bag.
Never.
You're working on it.
We don't have to make the decision tonight, right? When's the final one?
We have to move forward with the grant, and so the county has accepted their portion of it. Now we just need the assurance that you guys are going to do move forward with it too. We can work out the interlocal portion, the agreement portion, that we can still do, but we need the commitment from you all so that we can.
Would we be able to do that next week?
Want to do it next week? We can do it next week. We have till March.
Till March.
To move forward.
Right. It's either next week or not.
Right. Next week is March, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Next week is March.
Yeah, but
Ms. Charles?
Like we're talking Monday or Tuesday. Not Tuesday, but say Wednesday.
Yes. Our fiscal year starts in July.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're at the end of the, you know, we're heading into the end of the school year. My guess is obviously we'll want a contract with you from July to July. But right now, if we wanted to avail the service of an SRO or two SROs from you from April till July, do you prorate that?
We can do a couple things. Probably the easiest thing is we can stagger when the SROs start. Like I said, Clint wants to start yesterday, so they really are ready to go. And so if you want to start two of your SROs April 1st and then come July 1st, if you decide you want that third one, and we know you're going to take that third one, then we could start that third one July 1st. And then it would just be a staggered, and each of them would be going on a three-year thing.
But we couldn't, I mean, that kind of gets confusing in the big picture. We couldn't just start them all.
We could start them all in April, if that's what you want.
No.
July, that it stays with, but what I'm saying is prorate them, you know, pay you whatever, separate and apart from the contract, say we want your two guys for the next 5 months, and it's going to cost us, I don't know, $2 a month for the next 5 months. Can that happen?
Well, really, financially, for you all and beneficial for everyone, it'd be better to start your grant then, because you're only paying 33% of their salary April 1st.
Okay,
otherwise,
right, that's the key.
You don't want to pay 100% of their salary.
Okay, I understand. There's the key to everything. Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
What's administration's recommendation now based on the new figures?
Based on the new figures, it's $33,000 with the Anthony police. But if we can get three officers at $29,000 or $30,000, that's $87,000. So that's for the next 3 years, would be $87,000 for three SROs.
Yes, sir.
And that would be responsible for 75%. The fourth year would be responsible for the 75%.
Three officers.
So financially prudent, as long as we have the assurance that the overtime is law enforcement action, and it'll be on the sheriff's department, I feel comfortable complying with the sheriff's department.
For all three.
For all three. At $29,000, $30,000.
$29,573.
What they presented to us are completely different numbers.
Anthony presented two SRO officers and one SRO sergeant. The SRO officers would be compensated $40,000, let's say, for the first full year each, and then the SRO sergeant will be $60,000 with a, looks like a 20%.
What, so $139,000 compared to
this $109,000 that we're seeing here. So I don't know if we're seeing the full picture here on our end. Yeah.
And I really can't speak to anything that they presented or any of their numbers.
Yeah. We're trying to just get
the sergeant who's going to be overseeing the program. Not the only one. There's a community service sergeant who'll be overseeing it as well. So you'd have three SROs and a sergeant overseeing the entire program.
So we'd have three full SROs, not a sergeant, and two SROs.
Say that again, Adrian.
So we would have three SROs, and they would have a sergeant to oversee them with the El Paso County, versus what Anthony Police Department would be providing us. We would be providing basically a sergeant and then two SROs. So basically,
at 139.
At 139 for the first full year, yes.
Where they have that option too, that 90,000, but they presented last week with 139.
Yes.
Now they lower it.
I don't know if that's their numbers or not. It's the numbers we have.
They said that the sergeant was optional.
Yeah, that's why it was an option.
Yes.
For us, the sergeant is not optional. You will get a sergeant.
No matter what, but it's not part of what we're paying for.
Steve, are you taking notes? The sergeant is not optional.
You want that in there? Yes. No, that's.
We're not paying for.
You know what? We have.
He's being facetious.
And there's a sergeant that oversees them.
That oversees them.
He comes in. Period. He's got to be. He's got to do that.
They oversee.
Guys.
What I'm saying is the numbers that are being presented today
aren't the same. Yeah.
I do know what Ms. Aguirre and Mike Gonzalez did is they sat and had a very lengthy conversation.
So there's
with, I believe it was Mr. Rollins, this is the figures they came up with. This is the two scenarios. She went line by line. I know she asked very questions, and, you know, so this is what Martha handled personally, you know, talking to them on the phone.
So there's a $40,000 saving even if it wasn't.
We're
so sorry on this. We always want to make sure we have those correct numbers. You know how that goes.
Take your time.
I'll make a motion to approve the SRO contract as presented. And then what was it that we were going to pass to?
The contract. What you're doing is you're approving entering in a local agreement to accept the grant as presented for the 4-year period, is my understanding. The actual particulars of the final agreement have been worked out.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Gomez.
Mr. Colorado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
I feel uncomfortable because the figures have changed.
Correct.
And we don't have them before us. It has nothing to do with the Sheriff's Department, who are big supporters of, by the way, my condolences to the Detective Nunes. We love him. I'm going to have to vote no. Dr. Galavis talked about getting 3 SROs versus 2, and we don't have those figures in front of us. I just feel uncomfortable making that kind of a decision. So my vote is no.
Mrs. Quintana?
No.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
No, and it's the same issue. I don't have the... What we're talking about is not what I'm looking at. And so when we clarify, and we do love the sheriffs. We love you guys.
We just need to have our ducks in a row here.
Yeah,
that's just like the last meeting that we had, I had been called by Mr. Blanco, and I had, so I was like shocked. I didn't know what was going on. Heard one thing, then I heard another thing. So I was very...
I think what we need is an apples comparison.
Can I make, so that's what we've been asking for a year and a half already. And so can I make a motion that administration be ready to present to the board on the actual cost benefit analysis?
Of 3 SROs.
Of 3, of, you know, apples to apples across the board. Even if you all want to call the PD and get that one too. That's what we've been asking for a while now. So.
Okay. What we can do, I have no problem. These are the only 2 options that the board had recommended for last week. What we're looking at now is option 3, which we can add option 3.
I think you need to not do option 3. I think you just need to do option 1. Paso County, 3 SROs.
Okay,
Anthony,
just the 3
SROs.
The Anthony.
No okay. Sergeants. Okay. We had a sergeant already with that.
Yeah. Okay, so you just want 3 and 3.
3 and 3, yes.
Anthony and Frank. Okay.
Confusing.
We have that. So option 1 we'll take out, and we're just going to do 3, and with 3 on each one, one will say Sheriff's Department. The other option, I'll have Ms. Aguirre and Mike put together. One will say, like I said, Sheriff's Department.
The
other option.
Everybody okay with that?
Yeah, the same on each side.
3 of the same on each option.
Yes.
Okay.
I will direct them
absolutely to do that. What we did here on this was exactly what from the last one. This was not an option to go with all 3 until right when I heard this right a few minutes ago when we started talking about this tonight. So, but I will absolutely meet with Ms.
What
Gaddy.
I would like to see also is a PD. I mean, those are the 3 jurisdictions. So why not? I mean, this should have been done before we went in just with these 2.
Does the PD have an SRO approval?
They have several options, but I mean, that administration should do their due diligence in providing the same
game.
This is what
it's good to look at, though.
This is what it takes
to say
PD. I mean, it's going to be more costly. We know that, but that's what I would like to see in saying, hey, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is what happened, you know, and then present to us by next week.
Well, I'll have to find out if we can get something from the sheriff, I mean, the PD.
If you can, I mean, right now it's between those 2, but I've been asking for the PD as well. So that way, if not,
I will bring that up
from here on out, I would hope that would happen.
We'll talk to Chief Allen. My original understanding is that they don't do that kind of work, because I'm past so I see I asked the police department, but maybe they've changed. Well, okay.
And again, I thank you for, you know, all your comments, and I know this is a very difficult decision to make. You know, anytime we're involving money and taxpayer money, it's a big decision. We went through basically the same thing with Commissioner's Court this morning, and this was a lot nicer. But I just to remind you that we do have the sheriff's office, we do have that time constraint of, you know, of March. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is that you decide, and I applaud you for trying to get PD on board. Is going to be ready to go by your next board meeting? I don't know if that's a big issue or not, but for us it is, because we would need an answer so that we could take it back to commissioners, you know, before March is
done. I'm just saying, give them a call if they can at this point in time, but from here on out in the future.
I don't think it's going to be PD. I think EPISD has in the past said they would put their officers that they have just over basically there. Shift over whatever their cost is over here. When we met with, I think it was Mike, and I, we went to actually to EPISD PD. Chief Araiza. And that's basically what they said. I don't know that EPPD is going to be able to respond and that quickly to putting a proposal like this.
So that's my motion.
I'll second it. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Gomez.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Benavides?
Yes.
Mrs. Sanz?
Yes.
Thank you for being patient with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give you guys my card. I know that you're
done. Can I use it at any time?
it's not get out of jail.
Sorry.
But that's what it says.
You can write it in the back. Thank you so much for being patient, seriously. Thank you so much.
Ms. Gomez, this takes us to the next agenda item.
C, discussion and possible action regarding submitting a request to rename a portion of Spur 16.
Mr. Coronado.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have, this actually came as a request by one of our constituents. And so I felt that, that maybe the board, before we let somebody else take a crack at naming, that we ought to request TxDOT to name the spur behind the school and EPCC a name that maybe we can request instead of some of the other governmental entities requesting. And so I thought that maybe the board should act as soon as possible so that we would beat everybody else to the punch.
So your suggestion is the Foster Hunt Spur?
No, just Foster.
Rue de Serge would be one.
Rue de Serge, that's awesome. Eagle Way, I think, what you wanted to
call. No, but my suggestion had been some kind of either Eagle Way, Eagle Drive, Eagle...
Madam Chair,
Eagle Pass.
Eagle Drive?
Eagle Pass.
Eagle Pass.
No way.
That's a good one.
That is an awesome
Aguila. Avenida Aguila.
I like Eagle Pass, too.
Yeah. I move, Madam Chair, to go forward with Mr. Coronado's recommendation resolution to approach TxDOT with the name of Eagle Pass.
Second.
For the spur 16.
Well, the other thing I think we ought to do is we ought to give direction to administration to find out if it needs to be approved by any other entity, because I know probably the city of El Paso and maybe even the county might have.
Maybe even the state.
Or the state, for sure. Well, the state, I think, they wouldn't name it, but they would be the ones, they wouldn't request a name. We would request it from them to put it. But as far as the local entities involved that would have an input in it, I think would be the city, the county, and us. So I think we ought to, before anybody else, have administration get on board with getting approval from the other governmental entities.
It would probably have to be the MPO, no? The sound? Yeah.
Is that who it would be?
So should we start preparing a resolution?
I think we should.
We don't name it, so it's not...
Yeah, we don't name it, but we request that it be named.
Request it? You can do it by resolution, but you don't have to. The board can send a letter.
Can you send a letter?
You can have the superintendent make a request to consider it, but...
I think we ought to direct administration and our chair to carry out all necessary requirements to send the request to the appropriate
entities.
And I'll amend my motion is that...
I'll second that.
Who's the chair, Joe Pickett?
No. What I can do is I can call TxDOT and get the official rules and official procedure in order to assign a name to a road and then start from there and then go through the process that...
Tell them that we already have the name, we just want to know what the procedure is to get it in.
Before they print signs, yeah.
Right.
Tell them that. But definitely, I'm sure that TxDOT has a procedure in
place. Is that the right approach?
Yeah.
Woody Way?
Yeah.
Woody Way?
Woody Way.
Carol Hahn, right?
But, I mean, that would be my recommendation unless the board feels that maybe naming some other person would be, or I don't know.
Avenida de las Águilas. How's that?
Yeah. Maybe we can get a couple names together from the board.
I really like Eagle Pass.
I think we could give them two or three options and say this is...
One Spanish and one English.
Yeah, it's too big. It's too long. It's too long. We need something...
Dr. Galaviz wants to know if we want him to poll the community or...
We could do an online kind of polling thing in our website.
Yeah, I don't think we ought to, like, it could maybe suggest names, but I think...
We called you up.
Yeah.
I think.
Chihuahua pork.
Yeah, let's learn from that.
Chihuahua court.
But Eagle Drive, Eagle Pass.
Let's give them the two options, the English and the Spanish. And then.
Paseo de las
Aguas. Oh, I like that.
It's going to be too long.
Yes. It's going to be too long.
That's longer than the road.
Eagle Pass?
No, hold on, you don't.
Oh, I mean,
you don't. Ms. Searles made a motion to recommend Eagle Pass. Mr. Medina seconded it. She amended her motion to direct administration to take all necessary steps, and Ms. Gonzalez seconded the motion if she can. The original motion was amended. If it's going to be seconded, it has to come from Mr. Medina.
Mr. Medina, do your...
Rescind my second?
No, you don't have to rescind
it. No, you don't. You just amend it.
Amend my second.
Yeah.
But it's for Eagle Pass.
Eagle Pass is the only name that was in the motion.
Okay.
Mrs. Gonzalez gets a gold star for trying.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. We have a motion in that.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Motion passes.
The only better name would have been Canutillo Eagle Pass.
I should have given it to Shirley. Not quick enough.
Hey Lori, it's square 276.
Next agenda item, please.
Discussion and possible action regarding VMAC guarantee maximum price for Bayes schools.
Presentation. 2-hour
discussion.
Mr. Alan Poe. Good
guy. President Quintana, Dr. Galavino, board members, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to speak tonight regarding the Ray School Guarantee Maximum Price. As you know, this construction process is a fluid process.
and it changes from a day-to-day perspective, and I want to be the first to apologize to you for handing out the document to you right now during this meeting. I try to get you as much information as I could during the Thursday packet, and also on Friday we hand-delivered a packet to you regarding an update to what we were obtaining. I want to thank Mrs. Searles and the board as well for not discussing this item during the regular board meeting. In fact, we were not ready. We were ready tonight to discuss this item. We've done our due diligence, and we're now at the GMP process. I'll start off, if I could, by guiding you through these documents. You'll first see that we've received a letter from CDA agreeing with the dollar amount delivered by BMAC for the GMP. The second document here is this one here, which is the superseded. This document was delivered to you last week, and it's been superseded with the document tonight, and that document is the next one here in the list. It's got a red and a green box along it. So I want to kind of go over this document here and give you the opportunity to take some time to review it as well. I'd like to start off by saying that we've come a long way in the direction that we were heading originally with this bond program. And tonight marks one of the final segments of this process. This document, again, I'll refer to as the red and the green document here with the red and green boxes. This is the current GMP analyzed against our CISD budget. As you know, originally there was no CISD budget created. And if there was one, I've never seen it either as administration or finance. We've now come together. We've come together with finance. We meet weekly on a weekly basis to discuss bond finances. And what you're seeing is the 180-degree turn we've made. The first column, again, you'll see that there's a CISD estimate from October 30th of 2013. You'll notice that we were over budget by $5.2 million. That was the original back in December. We did a lot of effort was made and some approvals with the board to phase the Reyes School to eventually be constructed as a middle school, but initially start off as an elementary school to coincide with the demographics that we have currently for that area. The GMP today's date, you'll see that date there, is February 24, 2014. And Mrs. Searles, I know you wanted this big, so we put it on 11 by 17 so you can take a look at it. And so I want to bring your attention here to the blue numbers on this document again, the red and the green box document. The blue numbers are numbers that changed from the superseded document. So just to highlight to you how it's changed between what happened Friday and what happened today. We did ask for the consultation of our internal audit to help us. This is a tremendous and a monumental task to be able to review all of this documentation. Time is of the essence. We are under the gun to get this information in front of you for review and approval. And again, without internal audit support, as far as consulting goes, this wouldn't have been possible. With their help, we are extremely confident that we've been able to provide the best support for the district in its totality. So we have completed our due diligence process. We have reviewed subcontractor proposals as provided by VMAC and obtained through the competitive seal proposal stages, including the grading and the selection criteria of subcontractors. And we also received VMAC's response regarding several concerns we had, and we forwarded those to you on Friday so you could take a look at kind of the process that we go through. And so I'd like to kind of just overview the guaranteed maximum price, again, is really just the benchmark. It's a dollar amount. It's a dollar amount that we finally stick with. It's a guaranteed not to exceed dollar amount. And it's administration's recommendation that the Board of Trustees approve the guaranteed maximum price provided by VMAC without exception in the amount listed on that document. Lastly, I'd like to draw your attention with the help of internal audit, we were able to fully understand what we were received by VMAC, and you'll notice that we're back in the green, back at a surplus of about $369,000, and we're able to provide that savings back to the school, and we anticipate
using that to fund some of the deficits that we currently have at other schools, and or use it in the same school. And again, this is just the threshold dollar amount. It will change. This won't be the final number at the end of the first quarter of 2015. It's merely a benchmark, and it's the number that we will then be grading change orders to. So we'll have many changes along the way, and that's it. And so that's our recommendation. Any questions?
Can you explain Exhibit A?
Yes, sir. Exhibit A is the document provided by VMAP. That's the breakout of all of the work to be completed on the school as the drawings currently lie with the phasing. It's broken out for different bid packages that were delivered and analyzed by our team, and also by VMAP, and also by our architects. You'll notice that it comes together to a direct cost of $12.1 million. General conditions is a fee of 4.5%. Giving it the $661,000, subtotaling it, and then the fee of 3.9, and then adding the contractor's contingency. You'll notice at the bottom of the chart, we've had already come to use the board for other scopes of work, and you'll know those are listed there. Pre-construction services, $180,000. We've spent earthwork, rock and concrete walls. Of course, that work has already been completed out in the field. That totaled $2.4 million. And also the concrete, plumbing, and steel, you previously, just recently approved that one to go forward with $3.1 million, subtotaling to the 19, plus the owner's contingency at 19.457.
So on the total size, is that the recommendation by administration on the budget amounts, and are we only going with lowest, or are we going with?
We're going with best value subcontractors and combination of lowest. Some are, it's the best value proposal from BMAC that they do that through the CMC agreement that we have, and it's best value. Some are the lowest and some aren't, but they've been provided justification as to why, if a higher one was picked, why that person was picked, and we have that information.
And do we have that documentation? I know in the past we used to get and I know when we did buyer's contract, it wasn't to the full extent. It was just like three, four pages.
Yes, sir. We do have that information. That's what Edgar's passing out now. That is all the subcontractors as analyzed. Those first pages that you see are the dollar amounts. I would kindly ask that these dollar amounts remain completely confidential from this day till the completion of the project. They are not to be shared outside of CISD. And no subcontractor's been awarded to date. And if they get the information, they have the potential of pulling out, understanding where they lie on that break.
The other question I have in regards to, I know when we first passed our bond program, some of the community was making sure that we would go local. Did we take that into account, especially people who would say that pay taxes are within the district?
Within the grading criteria, it was stated that local subcontractors, if they threatened them down more.
We did evaluate who was local to the website.
Can you provide that formula in our Friday packet?
It's actually on the back pages. You'll see it there. If you go to the last page, you'll see it listed, the different questions, and the points awarded.
No?
And it shows the points allocation as far as who received what amount of points.
From page 4.
106.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I know when one of these, we're seeing a company who has the same last name as our bond project manager. Is there a conflict of interest?
We've collected a conflict of interest form from the subcontractor. That's as far as purchasing goes with Ron Gatlin, how he controls that. He was okay with receiving that. He was okay with what he got there.
What he received.
I hadn't seen the conflict waiver, but there is a process to go through. And Edgar's not making the selection on this, is he?
No.
As long as Edgar's not, is that, are you related to the contractor?
Yes, right there.
Right, he's not in the process of selecting.
He's not in the process of selecting.
Makes a recommendation to us. And with that subcontractor particularly, they came in low and have proven to work with VMAP prior to the past. You can see the points on the back pages.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
For the build of the entire school, even in phases?
I'm sorry?
This is for the build of the entire school in phases, or is it just one phase?
Just the elementary portion of the school, the two phases that the additional 20 classrooms, the two-story down below, mm-hmm. that we postponed and is not reflected here, and also the main competition gym and the orchestra band room and several classrooms also will not be built and is not
part. What's the capacity that we're building up for this 19 million?
What's that now?
What's the capacity that we're building to at this 19 million?
The capacity of the school at 19 million. There's a total of 31 classrooms. So 31 times 25 students.
It's about 700. Okay, maybe 800.
Sorry. 775, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we are with this process. We are converting certain classrooms previously designated as like a science room that wouldn't have any use to an elementary school. We're postponing some of the cabinetry in some of those rooms to use that as a classroom in the meantime until those other phases are built. So we're logistically working through the decisions we made as well, not just cutting and slashing. We're having to pick out what we postpone.
So let's say we go with this. Moving forward, we get phase one out of the way. Come phase two, how much more are we changing of our original building of this 19 mil that could have been basically built in and not done in the second phase?
So we've estimated roughly $6.8 million for phases one and two. That's the classroom and the competition gym and band orchestra room that would come in at a later time. About 6.8 million.
But how much are we going to basically change of our existing structure? Like you said, we're going to delay cabinetry.
Right.
Are we building everything to middle school height? Are we building everything to elementary school height? Because
as far as the standards for elementary school will be built, but there's not a lot. I see what you're saying. There's not a whole lot of concessions that will be made or modifications that will be made to make it a middle school at a later time.
Like
it's not going to be a huge deal when they have to come in and they don't have to replace $10 million worth of toilet fixtures.
That's what I'm looking for.
It's not a large
impact. Takes into account the phasing.
Right, the phasing, we did that strategically where the two-story building, which is 20 classrooms, that's a whole wing by itself, so it's really nice. It's separate. It's logistically located where it can be constructed while the school goes on. And, the noise is down, and also the competition gymnasium and the orchestra band room also same thing there. So it's.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr.
Chair,
I've got a whole list of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Number one, Hector, could I ask you first? You sent us this summary memo. It's about, I don't know how many pages it's going to be. It's more than 10. In this summary memo, you have questions, you have conditions. Have these been satisfied?
I was provided explanations for multiple of those questions. A lot of the questions were related to the bidding process, and so we were questioning the process that they go through when they select the winning proposal. And one of my main questions was related to what was called in the documentation that I was reviewing, scope review. And so how I understand the process is that they will verify with the bidders that they've included the entire scope of the project. And so
some of those bidders that they reviewed, it appears that they didn't submit a scope for the entire project, and so you see price escalations. And so that's the explanation that was given to me.
So in all of this that you've done, you feel secure that, I mean, I'm looking at, on the last page, structural drawings. Revised structural drawings include changes to the existing interior concrete retaining wall. These changes are not part of the GMP, which goes hand in glove with something's wrong with a structural wall inside that, I mean, has that been answered?
I don't think that was a comment or a question that I asked.
It's a combination of your report and rebel report. That's the document that Mrs. Charles is looking at. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of facilities, questions, and our questions. Yes, I think the last page is you're questioning
page.
One that it's an allowance, if I'm right.
I know which one you're talking about is an allowance, but this one is not about an allowance. This is just, it's right there, it's under the revised structural drawings.
You mind if I grab it?
No.
The question that I had, in general, if the bidder that they did the scope review on had an amount that was reasonable, they would, you know, go and make sure that they included all the items, you know, within the specifications. And so the responses that I got was that some of those didn't provide a checklist, and so when they visited with the bidder, they verified that they excluded some items and then were offered the opportunity to include those items. And then when those were included, then the scope was changed and the price was increased. The alternate to not go with that bidder and disqualify them in some cases would have caused us to go with the second price bidder, and that may have been a difference of, you know, $100,000.
With the roofing people?
With the roofing, that was one of them that we reviewed as well.
Would that be applicable to what you're saying?
Right, that's kind of the analysis that we
did. Mr. Searles, to answer your question, if I may, the document you had there is a listing of construction documents that is required of the agreement for them to provide to us, and all it's saying there is that there was additional drawings that were issued in addition to that list,
okay.
And those, they're detailing those, and they're not included within the GMP because they were already a part of Amendment 2, which is the steel, the site concrete,
yes.
And the steel part,
and it covered it in there.
We're not duplicating, right? It's not
okay.
A duplicate.
Thank
that.
You.
You're
excellent
welcome.
Answer.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So that answers right here my next question about the $50,000 previously allotted for the steel is not included. It's because it's included in this other one?
No, that's a different one. That's allowances. Allowances are separate from what I described there. Allowances are for potential there are allowances that allow for, that we'll be tracking a very diligently.
The
miscellaneous stuff. And you'll see the listing of miscellaneous uh-huh. stuff. VMAC has protected themselves by putting those allowances in. They're not guaranteed all those. That's, again, it's allowances. We'll be tracking them very carefully. And they're to catch any misrepresentations in the drawings and specifications as they currently exist.
How many square feet is the building currently?
Yes, my
102,000
square feet.
The sheer wall construction, I'm reading as a design wall. and that we're going to have to hire someone else to come in. Actually, I mean, this is what I'm reading.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to turn it over to
whoever can answer the
what's
question.
Happening.
Yes, it has to do with this sheer wall construction, and that we're going to have to hire someone else to.
The way the design of the school started with the BMAC in terms of the structure was that whoever was going to do the panels, the concrete panels, was also going to design the sheer structure of all those panels. Now, during the process, we found out that the actual bidder wanted it to somebody else to do it. So, through that process, we ended up our engineer needed to design those. So we are working within our engineer and BMAC to come out with that design. So it at the beginning, it was something that it was going to be separate. Whoever the contractor was going to do the shear panels was also hiring his own engineer to design the shear panels. Does that make sense?
It does. So, but the question, I guess, that remains is, who's picking up the tab?
That's going to be part of BMAX, and I think that's already included on your allowance to do that.
So the $12,000 that I'm seeing here is not over and above to hire an engineering company? It's included already?
No. That's going to be part of the bid process that the subcontractors being hired to do, and your allowance that BMAC has in there is for that to do it. So in addition to that, there's not going to be another fee. That's your question.
That is my question.
No.
Is there, because that's the way it was written. Looking for the piece of paper right now that I read it. In fact, it may be on the pictures.
Basically, BMAC is proceeding to hire an engineer to work with CDA to design shear wall locations and structural changes that you need to have to repair. Shear wall is what stabilizes the building.
Yes, sir.
So basically, we thought we made an allowance for getting an engineer on board as well as any possible changes that the current no bidder for that wall system may have, and allowed $25,000 for that work. So we're gonna track it, and we're gonna see how we do against that allowance. An allowance is something that we already know we need. We may not know the exact amount because we don't have a bid, we don't have an actual number, so we're just putting a placeholder for that again.
So I guess my question then is to someone, is it's just a covering your position is why we're hiring another engineer?
No, the current structural drawings do not show us the location of the different shear walls.
Yeah.
In the process of going through the bids and getting the information from different vendors, we found that information was not on the drawing.
Okay.
And the wall person, or the guy who's doing all the exterior walls, says, I need somebody to tell me where these walls are, what they look like, what kind of loads they're supposed to take. At that point, the structural engineer or CDA did not have that information. So now we know we have a problem, and so we're proactively getting a solution, and then we're going to turn it over to see if there's any cost impact.
And that goes back to the architect. If they know they have a problem,
well,
did you not know there was a problem?
No, in the beginning, the way the drawings came out, everybody assumed that the perimeter wall guy would have enough information to do that work. Once we got into all the drawings, that information is not there.
Okay.
So therefore, we have this problem.
Thank you. I guess that answers the question for me. Mr. Padilla, could you tell me what the total cost? I know that you have written in here that at the beginning of this project, we did not consider having it as a lead project. My recollection is all along we had it as a lead project. Does the rest of the board recall that?
The beginning of BMAC's contract.
Right. It's my understanding that at the beginning of it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. 2006 it was leaked?
No.
When did it turn to 2012?
January 12, 12
was when it turned to a lead project now.
Okay.
So it wasn't originally included within the negotiations of a...
Okay, that answers. And do you know what the total cost have you come up?
For lead itself? There's been studies throughout the industry from the United States Green Building Council to try to figure out the true cost of green building.
But I mean our cost.
Oh.
What are we paying? What is lead
about
cost?
$152, that includes the security. $112.
Okay, and you had brought to us $300,000 earlier, so actually we've seen a reduction in that?
No. So let me recap here. So the lead portion of this, the general conditions, which is it's listed, it's given to you, general conditions just to break out of the project manager cost, the superintendent, the project engineer, the construction trailer, yada, yada, that's general conditions. And so originally, this wasn't a lead project, and those general conditions, those lead portion of those general conditions weren't negotiated into general conditions, weren't negotiated in. Uh-huh. Now that it's a lead project, we have to include those items totaling $112,000 into general conditions, and that's that dollar amount. So we have that, and you'll see an increase on this. The red green box page, you'll see the increase in general conditions on that item there. So if you go to the general conditions tab of the red green. You're going to see an increase in general conditions at a certain amount, and so now it includes the lead under the extra recycling dumpsters, the lead consultant, the lead person that's going to be doing the combining of the credits. So the 300,000 you're talking about, that goes back to all the comments that we had to VMAC that we sent to you in the board packet, that long list of stuff that we were working on with the consultation of internal audit as a response to all of those comments. We saw and verified that there was a savings of about $350,000 and we were able to get back. So,
but that has nothing to do with
the two separate issues, yes, ma'am.
Absolutely two separate issues. So let's just stay on the lead.
Stay on the lead, yes, ma'am. And so the lead is about $112,000. We've now included that within general conditions. Previously, VMAC had brought it to our attention and they were putting it under the cost of the work originally. And so we said, no, you're going to be doubling fees if you put it under the cost of work. We need to bring it back up into general conditions. That's the proper way to put these specific line items.
I understand.
So we saved about $15,000 just doing that by transferring it from the cost of work up to general conditions. So we were able to recoup that money. It's about $15,000, by putting
but
it in.
But back to the original question, what do you think, what's the total that we're looking at for having a lead certified building. From your desk, I got the whole board did $300,000.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yes, no, I remember that now. So I want to go back to when I said that it was about $300,000 for lead. Again, the United States Green Building Council has done several studies to try to analyze what lead building costs, what lead green construction costs, and it's been very difficult to do because projects vary so much from one to the next. So. It's very difficult to tell at this point right now, or even when the project is completed, to figure out exactly what lead costs. I gave you a rough estimation, about $300,000, with the help of VMAC. We just guessed at it. That's the best guess we can provide you. But, using low VOC, volatile organic compound adhesive on the carpet, you can calculate what that cost is compared to what if you use regular adhesive. You can do those analyses, but then you start getting into some other trickier...
So you really don't know
it's
what...
It's a guess at $300,000.
Okay. Do you know what it's going to cost for the engineer to be hired that you spoke of to certify us as lead?
Well, there's the PSC, Park Hill Smith Cooper. Mm-hmm. That's, you'll see it up at the top of professional fees.
Third-party
reviewer, PSC, and that's $91,000. And what I'd like to mention about that, the 91, I'd like to renegotiate with them, soon, because again, the 91 was the original square footage, the big building, and so I'm not done still going back and saying, hey, I think we deserve credit here. So I'm not done. Again, this number, this GMP is just a threshold, just the baseline. So we still have some work to do, but 91,000 for the commissioning, and that's
just one step within LEED to do that. They don't come in and say, okay, check, 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 now you're LEED. They're simply testing the HVAC units to make sure that they perform to their optimum. VMAC and CDA will be responsible for a majority, if not most, 99% of all the LEED credits. PSC just has a couple of points in it.
Okay, you know, I see stuff on LEED like the security allowance of $5,000 a month.
Yes.
Should I like to have, I'd be happy to take that job to go sit up there for $5,000 a month and watch over it. Is that a good cost?
Yeah, yes, ma'am, we feel it is. When the, again, this is the same thing as far as the general conditions. When those originally negotiated back in 2006, if I'm not mistaken, 2006, general conditions was negotiated. The economy wasn't as poor as it was, yeah. And theft wasn't seen to be a problem at that time. Theft has now been a problem. They've seen it rise in the field, and it is VMAC's recommendation that we have security watching over specifically the copper that's going to go into the building once the electrical starts going in. And so we thought it'd be a good idea. We don't have that in-house. We do, but not to the capacity that we needed at Reyes, and so we put that there.
That's what I'm thinking. Does the SRO go out there? The LEED trash disposal allowance.
Okay, so there's a LEED point. It's called construction waste management. So construction waste, when you demo something, for example, if you're going to be forming the concrete around the perimeter of the building to form it up with a 2x6 or something, mm-hmm. you're going to use wood, right? And when you're done cutting it all up, you're not going to be able to use those forms again, so you're going to throw it away.
Yes.
Instead of throwing it away, LEED gives you points for recycling that material, so that wood will go into a dumpster specifically for wood, oh. And then you'll go recycle and you get
it. I thought you were going to say it gives you points for using it.
No. There is material reuse, but it can't be for
items that have been used. Okay. I understand that. I see mobile phones at $250 a month. For the temporary facilities, that's a lot of money on a mobile phone.
We have analyzed all of the items listed on these general
the temporary
conditions.
Facilities.
Yes, ma'am. We actually even, you'll notice that water was originally $5,000.
I know.
We disagreed with that, and VMAC agreed that, and we brought it back to $1,000 as an example. But yes, mobile phones we agree with. We have reviewed each line item line by line.
And we're
okay with what they have there, and it's typical for construction. They've got, right now on site, they've got a project engineer, they've got a project superintendent, and they have a project manager on site full time every day of the week building this project.
Okay. The rock wall, I was absolutely floored to see how much we're spending on rock walls. There's no chance of turning those into some of them chain link. I mean, it's $788,000 worth of rock walls.
So, you know, a lot of the rock wall design came from the city, a mandate from the city of what it needs to be. If you remember that, the whole perimeter of the facility has to be rock wall, and that's a majority.
It doesn't. We can step back a few feet and make it a chain link.
They're all constructed.
They're all constructed, and then that's history. You don't even need to ask it or answer it. I was just appalled. The $720,000 or $58,000 is a lot of money for walls.
That was part of the earthwork package.
Saw another one, page 5 of 8, and I'm looking at the paper you gave us on 2/2014, a voluntary alternate. Which actually went down and cost $38,500. It's at $179,000, but it doesn't tell what the voluntary alternate is.
We're looking for it.
Okay, it's
5 of 8, you said?
Uh huh. It's on what you gave us on the 20th.
So it looks like that's flooring, that's the flooring bid package. At the end of the flooring bid package is a voluntary alternate. Would have to look back at the bid documents to figure out what that was, and I'm not sure if one off the top.
No, it's
$179,000. It's a $38,000 savings is what I'm seeing.
It's on the bid package 9.
General trade bids 2/2014 final scope review is what I'm reading.
She didn't say she.
We have to figure out what that is, Mrs. Schultz. We can report to you in this week's
sure.
weekly notables. We can get that information for you.
Okay.
One second, Mrs. Rose, we may have it come on here. We'll look at it, Mrs. Rose. We'll get it to you this week.
Okay, on page 6 of 8 of that same document, it's package number 10A under the specialties. I see bond, and I don't know what that means. When I think bond, I think money or...
So some company, a bond...
The bonding of the company.
Right, the bonding of the subcontractor, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Combo price?
Combo price is, okay, say, let's just say, for example, Edgar does the toilet itself, and I do the toilet seat.
Okay.
If we give a combo price...
It's going to be a better price.
It'll be a better price, yes.
Thank you.
Unless it's for the special program.
Special systems, page 7 of 8, ranging from $130,000 to $153,000.
Well, that's what
page. I'm thinking it's got something to do with HVAC. Page 7 of 8.
All special systems here.
That whole box is for the mechanical and electrical equipment.
And special systems, do you know
special
what?
Special systems is the, the security, fire alarm, that kind of system.
Oh, are you just looking for a clarification of what that scope is?
Yeah,
what is
it's
special
a lot
system?
Of money. What are we? What is so special that we're paying that much money for it?
It's if the special systems are the fire alarm, the intrusion detection,
and also it'll carry the cable tray for your computers.
And the cable tray for the computers, not the wiring, just the cable tray itself. That cable, the wiring for IT is provided by CISD. We have that number.
Okay. You know, I couldn't help but notice that the entire school for Garcia was $12 million. And we're at $19 million up there, and it's not including the land. It seems like there's something interesting that's very much different. And for the record, Mr. Padilla and I sat for 3 hours at Christmas break, and we saw many things, specifically windows, aesthetic things only, that could be modified to possibly look at a greater reduction. I know that none of those are included in right. here, but do you have intentions of looking
sure.
at that?
Yes, ma'am. Just as I promised you, again, this tonight is the guaranteed maximum price.
Yes.
It's going to set the baseline for the number. And it is our intent after this, if it is approved, that we will start working on every single one of the items that we discussed
okay.
to bring them forward to the board with a dollar amount to say, yes, let's do this.
That we can right. see it, a possible reduction.
Sure, no, that's, and so now what's great about having the GMP in place, Mrs. Searles, is that we'll be able to validate real numbers from subcontractors. So beforehand, it was very conceptual, it was very difficult to try to gauge what a piece of work costs, because there's, you know, you've got three bidders bidding on a certain thing. And then VMAC had to then estimate what it would be, more or less for that item. So now that we've got a GMP in place, we will be demanding, or not demanding, rather, requesting that any change be delivered with the awarded subcontractor. So let's say you want to take out a door, okay? Well, then we'll direct CDA saying, CDA, will you please give us the written directive to the contractor to eliminate the door? That direction would be given to VMAP, and then VMAP will go to their subcontractor and say, give me a price for taking out the door. That proposal will be returned by the subcontractor to VMAP. VMAP will give it to CDA to review it, and if CDA agrees to the price, they'll forward it to us with a recommendation for that dollar amount. So we still, but it'll be real dollars now that we have subcontractors on board. And if we don't agree to it, if they say they're going to give us a dollar back or 50 cents on the dollar back for that door, we're going to negotiate it until we get what we need back because we know what it costs.
And with that, you brought up doors, a very good thing. You know, we haven't seen any specifics yet. We haven't seen any specs at all. I know that the board had specifically asked for doors that were the metal doors with the little glass window like we all had in the old days.
that had the metal going through it. Are those the doors that...
Yes, you can actually go in those.
Most of the doors are wood doors in the project. This is the first time I've heard of this particular item, but again, it's not too late to be able to...
No, it isn't. And I mean, the board sat, and the architects, and I think VMAC representatives, and vetted this out in full, and I really had hoped somebody was taking notes. Obviously, they weren't.
I wasn't privy to those conversations, Mr. Searles, but I'll make it a point to get response back to you.
I mean, what's his name? Mr. Gonzalez. I mean, we spent a long time talking about security on this school. I'd also like to ask you another question on the kitchen equipment.
Yes, ma'am.
Garcia's kitchen equipment was $101,000. This kitchen is $450,000. That's a huge...
So we brought Mrs. Salcedo in, Ida Salcedo, to discuss it. We asked for her opinion regarding the purchase of the kitchen equipment.
Yeah.
Her budgets with food service and what she has to do for federal funding, she's stating that she has to buy all the kitchen equipment for the cafeteria now using that federal funding. Her budgets
are stating
her to have to buy it for that. We haven't gone out to bid yet for kitchen equipment. We're going to be doing that the first week of March. Mr. Gatlin is working on the bid package as we're talking, mm-hmm. So we should have real numbers coming back to us soon. We're holding an estimate in this, you know, red,
yes,
green box of...
$450,000 is what I said.
Right. Yes, ma'am, $450,000 for now, so it could be $350,000. We're confident it won't go over $450,000. We just don't have we got that price from VMAC. VMAC actually went out to get a number for us when they originally bid it. They said, give us it. So it came out about...
Do you remember what it was?
It wasn't more than $450,000. So
what I'm saying, how did it get to $450,000 if Garcia was $101,000? If you told me $250,000, I'd say sure.
So again, there's two. This is a budget. We don't have hard numbers yet. And also, though, there are two. This is a big school. I mean, you've got pre-K through eighth grade, so you do have two.
So we're building the kitchen, and we're building two.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
Two serving lines.
Yes. Okay.
Two serving lines. We're building all, and we're
as though it were
the big thing, right? And so we're going to, as facilities,
then that answers
I want
question.
To make sure Mrs. Salcedo and I get together to make sure that stuff is preserved as best as it possibly can. You can imagine, I don't want people cooking over here when they have something over here that can be, you know, wearing down. So.
You'll need that SRO up there.
Yes,
okay, that answered the question.
Okay.
We're building for the full,
for the full
school,
yes,
the kitchen. What was our original estimate on this school? $18 million is what it was going to cost us for the entire school.
For the entire school, it was $24 million.
No, originally.
Originally.
It goes nodding.
It was 18 and then it was 21.
Because the board expanded the scope,
yeah.
I understand.
Okay, but it didn't include most of the items that are listed, or not most, but some of the items listed on this document,
uh-huh,
the owner provided and whatnot.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. You're
welcome. And thank you, Hector. And Emil, I know that y'all work tirelessly going over this. It's for our benefit. I can't thank y'all enough. Thank you.
You're
That's
welcome.
All the questions, ma'am.
Anybody else? Mr.
I just want to make a comment that you know, I want to thank not just Dominic and our staff, but in particular our internal audit department helping with this project. We didn't see we're getting a great bang for our buck from not just our facilities people, but our internal audit in this process. So
it's a team effort.
So
I have one question.
Mr.
You're confident with what you've done, that you vetted most of the unforeseen?
Yes.
Most of them.
Yes, sir.
Contingency, you have all these.
We've got.
You're not going to come back in 6 months and say, oops, we just forgot this, or oops.
No, sir. We tend to do that. Unless we change scope that we want to add a gazebo.
As it stands right now.
As it stands right now, this guaranteed maximum price with VMAC is guaranteed maximum price. It includes all the fees that we were accounting for. We have contingencies of our own built in, which weren't previously included in these budgets. And now we have an owner contingency, healthy one, of like $300,000. So, and with reductions that we're going to have, Mrs. Searles, so There's a possibility.
I just want to make reductions to that. They come to the board before.
Sure, no.
I mean, I don't want us to reduce it where it looks like a jail.
No, understood. No, there's going to be, so we're going to go through our regular process that we go through where we'll have them itemized, and then we'll do a lump sum. It'll probably be $200,000-$300,000. We'll go through the ones that we would recommend be done, and we'll approve those. So that'll only increase, add to our contingencies. And so eventually, hopefully by the end of the project, we'll have some funds left over to go maybe put back at Northwest or put back somewhere else. But right now, I'm optimistically confident with what we have in place. And really,
can we open the doors to 2016 or
2015? June 2015 is when
construction. In 1 year.
Yep.
Right. So, wow. If everything,
there's no rain, right?
There's rain delay. There's possible strike. There's could be another September 11th. God forbid, no. But you know, there, you can never tell. That's what we're planning for. That's what the schedule in the packet that I gave you shows. You'll see that June 2015 is what we're anticipating.
We did the Garcia in approximately that time.
I think because we've done so much ahead of it with all the earthwork and concrete and steel, now we can feel comfortable with it a year or two.
So VMAC originally had promised the building to us when we started to understand, when I kind of came on board, they were promising June 15th delivery date. And so they've still been able to honor that. And unfortunately, due to some slight delay, happened with regard to the approval of this GMP, they're now putting it to the end of June 2015. It's a 15-day, two-week window. We're okay with that slippage as long as today's the day. I mean, it's GMP, it's the day, that's what we're agreeing to today, without any unforeseen conditions, of course.
We need to look behind the principal property around.
Just real quick, I know this is your first GMP actually presenting the board, and I want to thank you for all the information. Comparison to what we've done in the past, so I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
This is something, I don't know if you all recall my frustration way back when we didn't have this type of stuff to approve the previous GMPs. And so I hope we're fully putting the policies and procedures in place so that way just continue to do the deserved kind of thing. And at the same time, thank VMAC and our architects. I know this has been one of probably the most frustrating projects throughout the process, and so I think together, you know, the administration and our team, we're finally here. So
thank you, sir. We do appreciate that. We recognize that we've turned a whole 180 degrees from where we were. And the process is not only is this GMP we're confident with it, but we're hopeful of the process that we have in place. This is just the GMP tonight, but we have processes in place as far as even having a superintendent out in the field. You see the punch list she's creating with these contractors. Unfortunately for VMAC, they had to rip down the wall.
Field superintendent.
And had to put it back up. But we've got not only this GMP and have analyzed it with a great team with the help of internal audit, but also have a great team in place with the processes in place to manage this project. And with Edgar's great work that he's done.
What I'm hoping also, too, is, you know, the consulting on this first GMP, at least we got it down from here on out. We could continue to move forward when it comes to that.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Everything is. Most everything is in place now, and it's all digital. It's all electronic. It'll be passed on to whoever's here. If I'm not here, if Edgar's not here.
And you know what, Dr. Calabrese? The other thing that I want to do is UTEP has UTEP on the move, and I think maybe we should look at that website, kind of the on the move, and really put this project, and that way we could, you know, it's pretty much our bond programs and everything that's going on in kind of deal where we could market that.
And I'm glad you said that. We're back this Friday. We talked on Friday regarding communication and marketing and bond update. So you'll have some kind of like a list of activities that you need. So show you in the board back this Friday.
The other thing I am going to request from our internal auditors an update on our bond financial audit to the board or to the committee as soon as possible. And we need to close that side of the bond audit as soon as possible. And we're going to have to, you know, the marketing part, the roadshow, we've been asking, now it's time we all need to go communicate this with the community, where we're at, what happened, where we're moving forward, and how we're moving.
get where we need to. So that's part of your task, and I was going to put that on your, this next week, this has a task. So thank you so much, Sly. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Mr. Daniels, is it going to be a beautiful school?
It is. You're going to be very happy when you walk in the door.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Can I make a motion?
I so move.
You so move. Accept EMAC's GMP of $19,457,564.30 GMP.
We have a motion?
Second.
We have a second. Ms. Gomez.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Mrs. Solis?
Yes.
One last question. Are we also putting an evaluation sheet once we work with previous contractors or something that they're not competent?
Board secret interest. Yes, sir. Actually, I've just discovered this recently. Unfortunately, I'm having to pull this document out and having to implement it now. And yes. We have that actually ongoing. Thank you. You're welcome, sir.
Ms. Gomez?
The meeting adjourned at?
This takes us to adjournment. It is 7:55.
Looking at that, right?
I was thinking 8.
Well, you needed to get out of here.
Good night, everyone.
Yes, sir. Look at this to Mike.
Gonzalez?
To take a look at the, remember the, like, moving all day. Remember we're looking at the
surveillance cameras?
Here. Do y'all have a committee here? You can have this back. Do you have a committee meeting next week?
Okay, we're good now.
¿Qué pasó? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Todo bien? I don't want to keep the
results for you. Huh?
Yeah? Thank you, appreciate it.
Hopefully everything comes out.
Thanks. Yeah, I hope so too.
If you don't want to do it, just put it on.
One more week.
I'll show this to Mike. Okay.
Tim, how that compares with the Isleta's deal?
How's the campaign going?
It's going good.
I voted Friday.
Best, and I hope that the weather holds up because...
Do you know how it's going to come out yet? No. Well, I voted Friday, and there was a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people.
Here at Regency?
I voted at the one on...
Hollyhurst?
That little, it's called an old folks home, Adrian, over there on...
Martin?
Yeah. I voted there.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
So hopefully, we'll see. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's looking good.
All right, sir. I'll show this to him, Mr. Coronado.
I try, but then
I'll get it to him.
Yeah, tell him how that compares with the one we're looking at that is letterhead.
You got it. I'll get it to him tomorrow.
Seems to be very versatile.
Okay. You got it.
So we'll do.
It's 416.
Have you sent me the final package?
They redesignated it three times.
That's the final package.
It was 276, then it was 216. And guess who had Spur 16 before? Eagle Pass.
Oh, really?
That's crazy.
Oh, where's Rachel?
Yeah. On this quest, you need to take off. No, those aren't Rachel. Those are Rachel.
Yeah.
Forgot one today?
Mail. Yeah.
All right.
and I'll look at what.
Yeah, okay. I'll look at it. We'll do that.
Hey, what's your meeting?
Lisa, give this to. I've already read it, yeah, and I just don't want it floating around that it gets lost, even when I put it in the.
You know what?
Spring break's coming. Spring break's coming. Yeah, and if you need to send some calendar, send it to me too. Yeah. In the Outlook Index, yeah. And if you have everybody's email, so they automatically pop into my email. It automatically pops into my Gmail. Yeah, if you can, that'd be great. Any community meetings.
That is so horrible.
We need to plan a month for swamp tours with the food and cemetery.
You too, Sonia, take care.
It's unique.
Almost 4 weeks.
I know.
Jaskus is not going to be there. You know, it would be worse on travel. If that's some Jaskus at the same time, it's already like this because of NASA. Yeah, Nazbis has taken over New York.
Yeah.
It's smaller than El Paso.
Yeah, right.
And they have a ton of hotels, but we're taking it over. That's why the travel in and out of it.
That's right. This week, yeah. All this
you don't get
scared. That's why we
will get us to
the turnout. Yeah. Well, we should. I know we can't look for TASB yet, but we should look for
it.
It's only through August or 2000.
Yes, right next
to it. Where is it in
Canada? 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I would love to be at the Tatiana show.
You're right there, he's so convinced.
And they had the TVs in the.
Yeah, and I was just sure. No, no. It's the whole wall. And there's like this little hole in there. I was sure they were watching.
They're all posted.
Okay, so.
We need to start looking at that.
Yeah,
and look at the
price. You guys have a good night.
They can pick us up, which is great. I don't want to have to drive out in the middle of the swamp.
Sure, have a nice evening.
You too, take care.